Hi guys, welcome to the Five Straight Podcast. This is John, and this is our last episode of the year.
Wrapping up a pretty exciting season this year. We just had the Super Bowl.
You probably know that I'm not a Patriots fan in the least bit.
At least it was a good game. Let's be honest. It was a very good Super Bowl.
Definitely one of the more watchable Super Bowls in recent memory. Yeah.
For this episode, we're going to be toasting to 2014, the season as it was, and trying to remember all the things fantasy-wise that we hope we can remember come the start of 2015.
Yeah, so what we're going to do this week is toast to some of the managers and players that made this year memorable. And on first down, here's to you, haters of the read option. It looks like your hatred of read option quarterbacks has paid off this year with Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck, and Big Ben producing astronomical numbers. Even Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, and Peyton Manning, although they've plateaued, they still had very, very productive seasons. And guys like Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, and RG3 had extremely down years, with RG3 losing his starting job to a Colt McCoy, and Colin Kaepernick losing his head coach.
It doesn't seem like 2012 was too long ago when we were saying, oh, the game has changed. These young read option quarterbacks have completely switched up what we can think of as franchise quarterbacks, whereas it wasn't too long ago when we thought Cam Newton and RG3 were phenomenon that changed the paradigm of quarterbacking. Russell Wilson is really the only one of them who has still maintained some level of success. And I mean, his success hasn't even been thoroughly as a elite passer. It's more he had a real lot of rushing yards this year, and people would say that he's on the borderline of being a game manager. So Russell Wilson, and maybe even the emergence of Ryan Tannehill as a fantasy viable option this year, would be the exceptions to what John was saying about the pocket passers being the sort of the elite quarterbacks again. Now, there are pocket passers that did not have great years this year. I'm talking, of course, about Jay Cutler and Andy Dalton, even though Andy Dalton technically made the Pro Bowl somehow this year. Can you figure out how that happened?
I think a lot of that has to do with the format. And I mean, it's not sacred. Derek Anderson made the Pro Bowl one year, so
that's very true. The format is a little bit different. We talked about that a little bit previously, but Andy Dalton and Jay Cutler, I would say overall, were disappointments if you were banking on them, because some people in fantasy were banking on those two guys. But pretty much the guys that you would expect to be good were pocket passers that you would almost assume would have been at the top of the league, plus Big Ben. I think Big Ben surprised some people, and he had a great year this year.
Yeah, it certainly looks like the old prototype of big 6'2 plus quarterbacks with big arms. That mold has come back in fashion lately. All right, well, on second down, we're going to toast. Here's to you, analyst who gets paid to tout young running backs, even though you're dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
Bishop Sankey. As you all might know, Bishop Sankey is the worst. He was projected to be a starter this year, but he was not the only underachiever out of the freshman class of running backs. I mean, we had Carlos Hyde, who was drafted to completely replace Frank Gore in San Francisco's offense. We had Christine Michael, and he was supposed to replace Marshawn Lynch this year, or at least take some of those carries.
Yeah, do you remember that? Towards the draft, people were so high on Michael and high on Hyde, just because they were expecting these two guys, Frank Gore and Marshawn Lynch, just completely hit the wall and go away come playoff time. Now, Frank Gore sort of did. He definitely had less than what he had previously, but Marshawn Lynch definitely didn't have any drop-off. If anything, he got stronger towards the end of the year.
Yeah, I think he had probably one of his best seasons ever. I mean, last year was pretty awesome. This year, you know, there was not really any drop-down performance on his part.
Right, he had 10 touchdowns this year, I think, rushing. And then he came 1 yard from having the biggest touchdown of the year.
Yeah, I mean, in the Super Bowl, he looked really dominant. I know in the last Super Bowl, he didn't have exactly the same performance that we'd like to see, even though the Seahawks won that previous Super Bowl. But they didn't actually need to run him that much against Denver with how badly the Denver offense was playing in that Super Bowl. Obviously, in this Super Bowl, all they needed to do was run him one more time, and we'd probably be talking about, you know, Marshawn Lynch talking about how he doesn't want to get fined in order to go to Disneyland.
Right, so I mean, Bishop Sankey, Carlos Hyde, and Christian Michael were all players that were supposed to be pretty much drafted out of nowhere. So if you're in your keeper league, these guys were probably available in your draft, and they were supposed to come over and become those franchise cornerstones that people would lean on in the future. But that isn't exactly what happened, was it?
No, not at all. I mean, we even had guys hyping up players like Devontae Freeman on the Falcons, and none of those guys who got any pre-draft hype especially in these deeper keeper leagues, really panned out.
Yeah, but this wasn't a complete loss for young running backs. There were a few young running backs that had a decent year.
True. Jerick McKinnon looks promising, depending on how the Adrian Peterson situation shakes out. Trey Mason took over the starting role and performed quite well for St. Louis down the stretch. And C.J. Anderson may even be keepable, depending on what happens with Peyton Manning. But these guys weren't drafted in most leagues.
Yeah, so if you were that analyst, here's to you, analyst, because you really tricked us this year.
Yeah, you told us to draft all of the wrong one.
All right, so my turn. Third down. Here's to you, douche who trades for all the rookie receivers like it's Madden. So, you know how it is in Madden, John. You have a franchise that you're building. Typically, those rookies in Madden are way overrated, so they end up getting drafted and being pretty good for you if you decide to. But that usually never translates to fantasy, right?
Right, you don't do that in real life. Rookie wide receivers are notoriously bad from a keeper perspective, even in standard redraft leagues. You almost never want to draft a rookie wide receiver high.
Except for this, the darkest timeline, 2014.
The darkest.
Yeah, we've talked about this previously. We've had players like Odell Beckham Jr. We talked about him at length. I think next year in a redraft league, he's probably going to be something like a first or second round pick. Then you also have players like the next tier of rookie wide receiver, which is Mike Evans, who had a great year as a rookie this year, even though he was a little overshadowed by just the highlights that Odell Beckham Jr. generated. But he still had a very dominant year. I think that he would probably be drafted somewhere between the third and fifth round, depending on the type of redraft league that you're in. But I mean, in a keeper format, he's going to be kept for sure. Those two guys, definitely.
Yeah, let's not understate the fact that Mike Evans had a combination of Josh McCown and Mike Glennon throwing him balls this year, and he still put up obscene numbers. In any other season, he probably would have ran away with Offensive Rookie of the Year, this year being just a super, super strange one.
That isn't even it. The wide receiver class this year, we've talked about it before, but let's round it out. Sammy Watkins, Kelvin Benjamin, Jordan Matthews on the Eagles, Brandon Cooks on the Saints, Allen Robinson on the Jaguars, John Brown on the Cardinals, Taylor Gabriel on your Browns, then you got Davante Adams and on the Packers, Moncrief on the Colts. These are all players that, given the right situation in the offseason, are maybe people that will be drafted in redraft formats, not to mention keeper formats because of their potential.
Yeah, I certainly will probably draft Taylor Gabriel far too early for my homeristic tendencies, even though he'll be taking over Josh Gordon's starting spot, probably, depending on who they end up getting in the offseason.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are all players that are going to see significant targets next year. I mean, let's just break down one of them, I guess. I like hyping up Davante Adams because I think that this year, he, even though he didn't do that much in his role as a wide receiver on the Packers, if Randall Cobb ends up leaving, he's very likely going to get a lot of those touches that would have otherwise gone to Randall Cobb.
Yeah, had the Green Bay Packers just stopped playing with 5 minutes left in that playoff game, we probably would have talked about the emergence of Davante Adams as a legitimate target for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, in that game, if you recall, Davante Adams was destroying the Seahawks defense.
Right. And I mean, like I said, Davante Adams, if he had gotten all that shine, given the free agent situation, I think that next year, we could be looking at him as being somebody that will be not only drafted, but drafted probably not as a wide receiver three yet, but who knows.
Yeah, certainly worth a flyer late in the draft. All right, well, fourth down then. Here's to you, general managers who avoid free agent running backs.
Generally a good idea, I think.
Well, yes, generally a good idea. So last year, 2014's free agent class was one of the more exciting ones, I'd say, that in recent memory for offensive players. And I will be fair and say that we did have some positive impact free agents, but these were all wide receivers. Guys like Golden Tate, DeSean Jackson, Steve Smith Sr. They all played and performed at a high level for their new teams. I mean, Golden Tate especially. Who would have thought that the sort of possession receiver on the Seahawks would be such a dynamic threat in the passing game?
I think that DeSean Jackson, it's a little hard to call him the same kind of free agent that we typically expect out of our free agents, right? Because a lot of times you have to think that these free agents didn't get re-signed for a reason, whether that team didn't value them enough to match their contract number that they were demanding, or in the case of Steve Smith, if he's a little bit past the prime of his production. But DeSean Jackson got released for character issues, so that's a completely other monster. So his production was great the year before in 2013, but then in 2014, even though he was in a completely anemic offense in Washington, he did end up still being able to be that big play threat that could get you maybe a little bit more than 10 points a week.
Yeah, I mean, there were certainly weeks where he, you know, put up DeSean Jackson stat lines, 3 receptions for 150 yards and 2 TDs. That certainly helps if you're looking at free agent wide receivers. Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, we're talking about free agent running backs. And pretty much everybody who was a free agent running back had a negative impact if you went ahead and drafted, traded, or kept any of these guys. Players like Toby Gerhart, who we've talked about, Chris Johnson, Ben Tate, Maurice Jones-Drew with the Raiders. None of these guys really panned out at all. Toby Gerhart probably be the leader of that class. A lot of people touting him as a potential workhorse.
It's sort of sad to see that. I mean, you have a couple guys in there, Toby Gerhart and Ben Tate, namely, that never really had a chance to shine because they were their number two backs. They came in this year either because of injuries or because of bad offensive line play. They sort of just did terrible. But, I mean, let's not leave them blameless here. They were probably underperformers on their own right anyway. So typically, when you're having running backs that end their first contract, they might be approaching a certain plateau. In the cases of Chris Johnson and Maurice Jones-Drew, that's definitely the case, where they've reached that plateau where their production is bound to decrease. But this year, especially, seemed like taking one of those free agent running backs in your fantasy draft is probably a bad idea.
Ben Tate, much has been said about the signing and release and then release again, and then he ended up on the Steelers and fumbling the ball in that playoff game. I mean, it's been a bad year for some of these free agents.
While we're on the topic of free agents, this isn't a phenomenon that's only 2014. Now we have to worry about the free agents that are upcoming in 2015 season. I guess we still have the same considerations, right? You have to compare whether or not wide receivers that are going to new teams are going to have Golden Tate-like production this year, or whether they're going to be flops, and you got to also figure out with the running back class whether or not those guys are going to have production or not. So, John, let's just go through a list of some of the wide receivers and running backs that are in this class, and let's figure out whether or not you believe, based off of their production this year, if they were to go to a new team, they would get an increase or decrease. And I know that a lot of that will depend on which team they go to, but in general, let's say they go to the average team. Let's start with the wide receiver class this year. Dez Bryant, huge free agent this year. A lot of speculation that he's going to go back to the Cowboys.
Probably a push. I think he's a good enough player that he'll probably end up putting up about the same numbers. Yeah, I don't see him necessarily being hugely quarterback dependent in the same way that some of these other guys are.
Yeah, I would actually agree with you on the push. I think he's going to stay on the Cowboys, so it's probably moot. So how about the first of the Thomases on the Broncos, Demaryius Thomas?
Almost certainly going to be a decrease in production. We saw this last year with
Eric Decker,
yeah. Classic example of the Peyton Manning effect, inflating one's statistics.
Okay. How about with Randall Cobb? If Randall Cobb on the Packers goes to a different team?
I'm saying decrease as well. He's good. I think he benefits from Aaron Rodgers a lot. And, I mean, he's a good route runner, good receiver, but he just doesn't sort of take over the game in the same way that I see like a Dez Bryant take over a game. He does catch a lot of balls, but I think a lot of that's the offense and a lot of that's Aaron Rodgers being very, very good.
Fair enough. I mean, it's hard to get anything better than Aaron Rodgers, right? Yeah. How about Jeremy Maclin in Chip Kelly's system?
Well, this one's a hard one to call, since I think we've probably seen Jeremy Maclin's ceiling, so probably decrease. They do go vertical a lot in that particular offense, so that benefits his particular skill set.
My money's that he goes back to the Eagles anyway. Yeah. How about Michael Crabtree?
So this is an interesting one. This is actually a case where I think he might increase his production, Michael Crabtree. Having Colin Kaepernick throwing him the ball, and with the Niners offense imploding around him, certainly did not help. So I think if he ends up in the right system, even just an average offense, I think he has a chance to be a very, very productive wide receiver.
Yeah, I think that he definitely got drafted in that top of the first round in his year. So somebody thought that he was worth it just talent-wise. Now, he's been in a system that, like you were saying, isn't necessarily such a vertical passing attack, so perhaps his production go up, but he's sort of a possession receiver, similar to Golden Tate, so he probably has to go to a really good situation, but I would hope that he increases. How about Torrey Smith?
Almost exactly the same as Michael Crabtree, I think. He lost a lot of targets with Steve Smith Sr., so his production last year was down from what we've seen. So I think, yeah, there's a chance for him to increase his production depending on where he ends up.
He's got that big playability. He's definitely got speed, similar to DeSean Jackson. That being said, I don't know if he's a guy that can get as many touches and is as creative running after the catch as DeSean Jackson. So he's got the speed, but he could end up flopping like DHB. How about Reggie Wayne? I know you like Reggie Wayne. He's sort of the elder statesman of this free agent class.
He's also the elder statesman of my team, and I think it has to be a decrease. And didn't he already say that it would basically be the Colts or he's done? I don't think he wants to play for anyone else. So if he's still on the Colts, I think his production goes down because of Moncrief. If he's not on the Colts, he's retired. So that's that.
I read an article today that was saying that he still was pretty much convinced that he wanted to come back. That being said, I don't know if the Colts bring him back, but I would have to think that if the Colts do bring him back, then his production this year wasn't all that great either. But all right, so those are some of the wide receivers in this year's free agent class. How about the tight ends in this free agent class? Let's start with Julius Thomas, one of the two Thomases that's a free agent on the Broncos this year.
Same as Demaryius, his performance is going to go down if he ends up basically anywhere that isn't the Broncos. I think, the Broncos with Peyton Manning. Yeah, I think he benefited from that particular situation. I don't really think he's that much better than, you know, sort of the top tier of tight ends. He certainly is good, but we've seen in years past, like, guys like Dallas Clark benefit from Peyton Manning, and Julius Thomas I don't think is that much different from that.
So it's an interesting situation, right? Because they said right after they lost to the Patriots that they wanted to bring back Thomas and bring back Thomas, but they have a new coach now. So what are we really thinking about if we're talking about bringing them back to the Broncos? I don't know if that's even going to be the same system, because I don't think Julius Thomas is the best run support tight end. So if he ends up on a team that doesn't pass as much or doesn't have as strong offensive line play, then his utility is going to go down. So I would think that it's going to go down regardless, unless he ends up in the perfect situation where they pass just as much, but that's going to be rare. How about let's move on to one of your favorite players, Jordan Cameron on the Browns, who already said that he doesn't want to come back to the Browns.
I think his performance is going to go up. He's a guy that was injured for pretty much his entire season. But when he was healthy, he showed that he was still a vertical threat, that he can still catch balls downfield and make plays. He's kind of actually very similar to Julius Thomas, not a great run blocker, but a good route runner, good receiver. So if he ends up on a team that'll feature a tight end, he can certainly benefit from that. And kind of in the same boat as Julius Thomas, if he ends up like on a Kubiak offense, one where a guy like Owen Daniels caught all of those balls those years ago, that might be his best case scenario, since he's definitely more of a receiver who happens to be huge.
Let's hope he can stay healthy, though, because that's going to be key. And then our final tight end that we're going to look at in this free agent class, some were calling him a bust because he was drafted so high out of Oklahoma. Jermaine Gresham, he's a free agent now.
This is an interesting one, because I think of the three, he might have the most balanced skill set. I think he's a better blocker than advertised, but he also had some terrible numbers this year, so I don't know what his potential free agent landing spots might be. But if he ends up as the full-time starter someplace, his numbers kind of have to go up, but it's hard to say, because he did show some promise when he was drafted, and he was drafted very, very high, but he just hasn't produced at that level.
No, he hasn't, but I think that he's sort of a sleeper for me, because even if he ends up on a team, like you said, that isn't necessarily a passing-oriented team, I think his skill set sort of makes him a pretty good safety blanket for young quarterbacks. So even if he goes to a place where he's going to try to get the money, I think he still has a chance of doing better and becoming maybe a borderline tight end one. All right, so we've talked about wide receivers and tight ends. Those were the ones that we, this year in 2014, we saw positive impact from. But we also saw negative impact from our free agent running backs. Is it going to change this year? Let's start with our first one, Justin Forsett on the Ravens.
So if he stays with the Ravens, I think he'll be fine. If he goes anywhere else, I don't think we'll see the same type of production, and I think he might even be the head of this free agent running back class, so it's already very, very grim from the outset.
Yeah, so it's not going to get any better. Number two is Ryan Matthews.
Ryan Matthews, if there's anything I've learned about Ryan Matthews in the time that he's been in the NFL, is you stay away from Ryan Matthews. He'll look good for one game and then be injured, and then not play the same for the rest of the year. Yeah, I don't like Ryan Matthews particularly.
Yeah, that's sort of the story of Ryan Matthews' career. And I don't know what is going to happen to him with the Chargers, but if Ryan Matthews ends up being the guy, he's definitely a guy you have to handcuff. Because he might put up 1 week of good production, but he's definitely not somebody that you'd look at to carry your running back squad like they thought he was going to be when he got drafted out of Fresno State. Number three and four, let's do it combined. We got the two running backs on the Patriots, or two of the running backs on the Patriots. We got Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley.
No, they're both young, but they both really haven't shown me anything as far as producing in a traditional offense. I mean, Stephen Ridley's the bigger guy, Shane Vereen's a better pass catcher, but how many times have we seen this before with guys like LeGarrette Blount, who had the Stephen Ridley role and then went and was terrible in the Steelers and then, you know, sucked enough to get cut and go back to the Patriots, or even going even further back, Lawrence Maroney, all of these dudes who were productive in some sense with the Patriots, and then as soon as they hit free agency, they, you know, were never really heard of again.
Well, I mean, you got Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley, who coming up into this year were sort of the poster children of the committee movement. Because one was a guy that was a change of pace out of the backfield, passing game guy. The other guy was a guy that you would hope to get those goal line carries. Both of them sort of lost their starting position because LeGarrette Blount decided that he didn't want to play for the Steelers, and then they brought him back for the Super Bowl. So I guess with these guys, and I guess this is our season finale, so I'll do it one more time. Garrison Hurst and Kayvon Barlow, type running backs, are hard people to keep. Because that's what I think of when I think of Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley. You got two players that on their own were not enough running back to sort of become that fantasy thing that you need, the workhorse running back. So there's no reason to believe if their situation were to change that they would suddenly develop this skill set. So I think it's going to be pretty hard to try to think that their production will increase. Although their production wasn't all that great when it was fantasy-wise when they were on the Patriots, so maybe more of the same.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So let's talk about our last running back, Darren McFadden.
Darren McFadden, it has to be a decrease. He's getting older. He's a guy that I didn't even like coming out of college, to be honest. I didn't like what I saw out of his college tape that much. You know, he's fast, and that's his big selling point. But now he's older and not nearly as fast, and also really could not take the starting job in Oakland. We could say some stuff about Latavius Murray and his sort of sudden arrival, I guess, in that backfield, but Darren McFadden on a bad team couldn't take over the starting rotation there, so I don't really see him being productive next year either.
Right. I would hope that he gets a little bit of a revitalization, but I think that it's probably not something I'd bet on. So yeah, that's our free agent class that we're talking about. Overall, what do you think? Looks like we're sort of down on all of them, which is sort of what you're going to expect, right? These guys are free agents for a reason.
Yeah, I think more and more the model for running backs is you want to draft and groom your own running backs, and then they hit the free agent market for their first big contract. But with how short a lifespan these players have, you know, you're paying for maybe 1 or 2 years of production.
Yeah. I guess you also have to think about players like Adrian Peterson and Ray Rice, right? I mean, they have possibility of making a comeback.
Yeah, and they might, you know, enter the free agent. Well, Ray Rice is already in the free agent market. Adrian Peterson might be traded. There could be a good amount of upheaval in that running back market this year.
Right. So hopefully somebody comes up because we're going to need somebody to draft, right?
Terrence West.
Terrence West.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess let's wrap this up. Fifth down, let's toast our last person. Here's to you, Taylor Swift. Because in my opinion, you had the best year out of anybody this year.
I mean, she has been everywhere, right? Taseway.
Yeah, you can't go to an airport without seeing Taylor Swift. So here's the reasons I think that Taylor Swift is the MVP of this season. Okay? Or of this year. One, she was the only person that I've ever seen to come back in the age of Spotify and tell Spotify to F off, and then in her album was still going platinum, even though she did that. That's one. Here's two. What was the biggest event that happened for celebrities this year?
The 4chan photo leak?
Yeah. Remember that, John? The time when all those photos came out and all those perverts ended up finding all those pictures that leaked off the cloud? Well, who was not a part of that?
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift wasn't. There were other people that were. Hint, Ariana Grande. So Taylor Swift avoided that somehow. Two. Three, football-wise, Katy Perry did do the Super Bowl. So big ups to her. But afterwards, it didn't seem like Katy Perry was getting that much shine. Who was getting all the shine after the Super Bowl?
Left Shark.
The Left Shark who just didn't do the dance right. So, I mean, even though Taylor Swift didn't book the biggest performance of the year and her rival did, it's sort of sad that Katy Perry didn't manage to gain a lot of buzz after such a huge performance. So, I mean, Taylor Swift, in my opinion, won 2014.
But I think you still have to give Katy Perry some credit for putting Left Shark in that position to not do those dance moves correctly. Although conspiracy theorists in me might think that maybe Left Shark was doing the choreography correct and that Right Shark was, you know, trying to show out a little bit.
Or maybe Left Shark was working for Taylor Swift. Or maybe Left Shark was Taylor Swift.
We've never seen them in the same place.
Although there is good evidence that shows that the Left Shark is some really ripped dude.
Those shark costumes do not look that light, no.
Well, I mean, I think that Taylor Swift had a great year this year. And even though that probably has very little to do with how your keeper team is going to do, maybe you should take a page out of Taylor's book and...
Shake It Off?
Shake It Off.
Oh. I still think that song's about Starbucks lovers.
No, that's Blank Space. That's about Starbucks lovers.
Yes.
Well, that wraps it up this season. Thanks for listening this season and tuning in. It's been an interesting experience and experiment with trying out this podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. We definitely enjoyed providing keeper information.
Yeah, and if you have any, comments and suggestions for our next season, we'd love to hear it. And as always, you can find us on YouTube at Five Straight Podcasts and on iTunes as Five Straight Podcast. But yeah, it's been a really, really fun 8 episodes that we put together here.
And hopefully we'll be coming back to you next year, starting off with the draft and helping you out with any of your fantasy football keeper league questions. So signing off this year, I'm Rich.
I'm John. And as always, have a good one.